The reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, beginning at the first verse. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Good morning. It's so good to be together despite fire alarms going off and unforeseen challenges this morning. It's so good to be together. Before I jump in to what I'm going to be talking about this morning, you may have been looking at James as he's been leading the service this morning and thinking, oh, he looks that little bit older and wiser. He's getting more refined and handsome with age, like a fine bottle of wine. Well, James actually celebrated a birthday this past week. Did anyone else celebrate a birthday this past week, or was anyone's birthday today? Graham, brilliant. Anyone got a birthday coming up in the next few days? Well, if you know anyone, we're going to sing happy birthday. So can we sing happy birthday to James and Graham, and feel free to crowbar anyone else's name into that as we sing. So, happy birthday. Happy birthday. There we go. Wonderful. It's good to do that. Just as well, a couple more dates for your diaries. Just a couple more notices because we're Anglicans and we love a notice. I'm really excited to let you all know that on Mothering Sunday, on the 15th of March, Bishop Ruth Bush-Yeager is going to be with us at Emmanuel. Bishop Ruth is the Bishop of Horsham. She's going to be our guest speaker on Sunday the 15th of March. She's also my boss. So really looking forward to her being with us and to her speaking. That was going to be an intergenerational service that Sunday. It's no longer. We're going to have Bishop Ruth with us on Sunday the 15th of March. So do please put that date in your diary. And then also Friday the 26th to Friday the 28th of June, which I know sounds like a long way off, and it is. We've got our church weekend away at Dalesdown, which we're really looking forward to. And we are really blessed. We have John McGinley as our guest speaker on our weekend away. Some of you will be familiar with John. John oversees an organization called Myriad, who have a vision to plant 10,000 new churches in our country. He's an amazing guy, an amazing speaker, speaks regularly at New Wine. So we're really blessed to have John McGinley with us. And we also have a pair of brilliant worship leaders joining us as well, who's the worship pastor at Emmaus Road Church in Guildford, Pete Gregg's church, or he's no longer leader there, but where Pete Gregg was leader. So we're really blessed to have these guys with us on our church weekend. So can you please put those dates in your diary, Friday the 26th to Sunday the 28th. Of June, and more info will follow. Anyway, here endeth the notices, and all God's people said, thanks be to God. There we go. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to jump into what we're thinking about together today. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your presence here with us. Thank you that you are God with us. And I thank you, Lord, that you love us too much to leave us as you find us. So would you be at work in us and through us? Holy Spirit, fill us afresh. Fall on us. encourage us, challenge us, inspire us, we pray, that we might be the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, today we are beginning a new three-week teaching series on the subject of giving. And our theme for today is the heart of giving. And I want to begin by being honest with you all and saying that this is not a subject that myself or other church leaders find especially easy to speak about. I'm also very wary of the various stereotypes out there, some sadly for good reason, that church leaders are always speaking about money, or that churches are kind of going on and on about money. I am confident in saying I don't think Emmanuel is one of those churches. And I'm confident that I'm hopefully not one of those leaders. But I do want to thank you in advance for these next 3 weeks for indulging me on this subject, because it's something that we need to think about together as part of our worship, as part of our discipleship to Jesus. If you're visiting here, if you're with us for the first time today, we do not always speak about money. So I want you to know that. If you came other weeks previously, you would not have been hearing a talk on money. I also want to say from the beginning today that I have complete confidence in God as our provider. I have complete confidence in the Lord as our provider. He is, as he always has been, Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. And if you hear nothing else today, hear this. Let's never lose sight of who God is. Let's never forget that he is our provider. And with all sincerity, I can stand here before you this morning and say that I have great peace and great faith and trust in the Lord that he will provide for Emmanuel Church as we respond to the leading of his Holy Spirit in this new season. I also want to acknowledge that the whole subject of finance and money, it can be a difficult thing for us to think about, talk about. We don't always talk about money. It's a difficult thing for us to grapple with. And I do also want to recognize that I'm speaking to a room full of different people in different stages of life, with different personal circumstances, and in different financial situations. So I want to recognize that. But all that being said, I do want to say this morning that we need to talk about money. Not Kevin, we don't need to talk about Kevin, but we need to talk about money, and I hope to show why over our time together this morning. If we could have the next slide, please. Thank you. In this amazing passage in John 12, which Annie just read to us, we have this remarkable account of Mary anointing Jesus with an expensive perfume called nard, which she pours over him. Now, we could do a deep dive just into this act of Mary alone. It's fascinating. Time is against us for today. But for info and context, in case this is helpful, it's widely estimated that the nard that Mary used was pure nard, which means it was a perfume that had no additional ingredients. It was free of any additives. And that also meant that it was very expensive. This nard would probably have had a reddish kind of color and a very sweet fragrance, a bit like gladiola, if that means anything to anyone in the room. It would have smelled sweet. And we read in verse 5 that it would have cost the equivalent of a year's wages. Approximately 300 denarii. Don't know if anyone's visited the Bureau de Change recently and asked for denarii. But it's fascinating. For those of you in paid employment in the room, I don't know how much money you earn a year, but I want you to imagine just for a moment, just humor me for a moment, you taking your yearly income, your yearly salary, and spending the entire amount on Jesus in a costly single act of devotion. Just imagine doing that. How does that make you feel? What kind of emotions does that idea fill you with? And this is exactly what Mary does in John 12. And how does Jesus respond? Well, not only does he welcome Mary's devotion, not only is he pleased with what Mary does, Jesus also goes on to defend Mary for what she's done. And I love, if you have your Bible open in front of you, John 12, I love what we read in verse 3, where we read this, that the house was filled with the fragrance of perfume as a result of Mary's actions. And friends, I would love us to keep this image in mind as we think about our own giving and about the mission and ministry of Emmanuel. And I really believe that the Lord would have us be the kind of church where the fragrance of our generosity, the fragrance of our devotion to Christ fills and changes the atmosphere. Both when we're the church gathered, when we come together to worship Jesus, as well as when we're the church scattered as we seek to live for him and love him and love others in our various workplaces and neighborhoods. The presence of God is rich with the abundant fragrance of generosity and devotion and faithfulness and compassion. And I pray that my life as well as your life may be a fragrant offering to the Lord. We have our next slide, please. As we reflect on the example of Mary in John 12, we see that at the heart of giving is an extravagant generosity that seeks to exalt and honor Jesus. Should we read that together? At the heart of giving is an extravagant generosity that seeks to exalt and honor Jesus. Now, I do want to acknowledge that a lot of what I'm going to be saying to you this morning might be completely brand new information to some of us. Others of us might have been coming to Emmanuel for a little while now, and it might have never occurred to us to even think about giving financially to the church. Others of us would have been giving faithfully, generously, and regularly to the work of Emmanuel in your time here. And if that's you, I want to say a huge and heartfelt thank you. Thank you if that's true of you, if you give regularly to the mission and ministry of Emmanuel. Thank you. Now, if you grew up in the church, as I did, or if you went through Sunday school as a youngster, you probably had it drummed into you ad nauseum that the Bible teaches that all Christians should give or tithe 10%. Give us a wave. Anyone with 10% of their income? That was my experience too. And I do want to say this morning that 10% is a helpful metric for us to keep in mind as we think about our own giving and what we might be in a position to give each month. But then Jesus, as he so often does, changes everything. Jesus significantly shifts the goalposts when it comes to expectation around giving. When he commends the widow's offering, and we see this in Luke 21 and Mark 12, Jesus says this to his disciples in Mark 12, 43 and 44. Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. So this morning I want to say that whilst 10% is a helpful guide, I want to suggest that a far better guide for each of us as we think about our own giving is the extravagant generosity that we see in the example of Mary in John 12. A far better guide for us as we think about our own giving is the costly and generous and sacrificial offering of the poor widow, who, although she only gave a couple of coins, gave sacrificially. I'll say it again, what we just said together, at the heart of giving is an extravagant generosity that seeks to exalt and honor Jesus. If we can have our next slide. I want to ask each of us here today, and all of us who consider Emmanuel to be our place of worship, is extravagant generosity at the heart of your giving? Are you giving to the mission and ministry of Jesus and his church? And if not, why not? Now, please hear me when I say that it's not for me to tell any one of you what you should be giving. That's a conversation that needs to take place between you and the Lord, between you and your loved ones, between you and the Lord as you ask Him to search your heart, as you surrender your wealth and your possessions to Him. It's also a conversation that should take place between you and your loved ones, your trusted others, in order to arrive at a place of mutual understanding and peaceful agreement. It's not my place to tell you what to give. However, if I may be so bold, it is my place to encourage every single one of us to give and to sow into the mission and ministry of Jesus by giving financially to the work of Emmanuel Church here in Chichester. And again, in the name of honesty and transparency, I want to be honest with you today and let you know that I am not asking you to do anything that I myself am not already doing. Sarah and I give regularly each month to the mission and ministry of Emmanuel, and we're currently having conversations about how we might be able to adjust and increase our own giving. And again, with full transparency in mind, I want to let you know that it's a point of principle for me as the leader of Emmanuel to not know and never to know who is and who isn't giving. It's also a point of principle for me not to know how much people are giving, not to know what people are giving. And it's actually really important to me, both as leader and as person, that I do not know this information. Because knowing this information only serves to muddy relationships with people, that it can affect relational dynamics. And so it's a point of principle for me never to know who is and isn't giving, and not to know how much people are giving. But it is my job, or part of my job, along with our brilliant leaders and trustees, as well as with our treasurer, Chrissy Bacon, and our bookkeeper, David Grove, to steward wisely and faithfully, and hopefully also faith-filledly, the money and resources that Emmanuel receives, which have been entrusted to us. We can have our next slide, please. Again, in the name of full transparency, I want to be honest with you and say that there is a growing concern at Emmanuel at both a leadership and a trustee level about the current financial trajectory Emmanuel finds itself on. This year, for example, we're forecasting a £22,000 budget deficit. At the start of this year, Emmanuel had £56,000 in the bank, and our reserves policy says that this amount must not drop below £35,000. Whilst there is some leeway this year, from next year onwards, it's imperative that Emmanuel breaks even every year thereafter. Ideally, Emmanuel needs to raise an additional £15,000 to £20,000 a year. If this amount comes from one-off gifts, it would balance the books this year. But if a large part of this £15,000 to £20,000 came from new or adjusted or increased standing orders, this would go a long way towards securing Emmanuel's medium-term financial future. In 2024, Emmanuel gave away just over £9,000 as part of its missional giving, which was approximately 6.8% of our overall freewill giving that year. Last year, in 2025, Emmanuel gave away just shy of £5,000 to missional giving, which was 3.7% of our overall free will giving. And recently, the leadership team have committed in faith to increasing our missional giving over the coming years, recognizing that part of good stewardship is generosity of heart and open hands. Now bear with me, there'll be much more detail for those of you who love this stuff about our finances at the AGM in April. But I do hope that what I'm sharing here is helpful. Who here knows that Emmanuel is an Anglican church? That might come as news to some of us. But as an Anglican church and as part of the Church of England, Emmanuel is committed to paying full parish share every year to the Diocese of Chichester. Now, I'm sure all of you came to church this morning dying to know what parish share is. So here you go. Parish share, in case you were wondering, is a way in which the Church of England funds ministry at a local level. So parish share is not a compulsory tax. It's not a legal requirement. Rather, it's a voluntary contribution which churches pay into, which enables the church as a whole to be supported financially rather than just one or two parishes. I often have that response when I think about parish share as well. The money that comes from parish share helps pay for clergy, like myself and James, although James is non-stipendary, helps pay for our stipends, helps pay for pensions, for housing, and for clergy training. Parish share money also helps fund diocesan staff and services. So, for example, safeguarding within the Diocese of Chichester, which is really, really important. Education and ministerial training in the Diocese of Chichester. Money from parish share goes towards supporting and financing things like pastoral support. And it also helps support mission and ministry across the diocese by benefiting poorer churches or parishes who are perhaps not in a position to fully support themselves. And in 2021, doing a bit of a history lesson, the leadership of Emmanuel pledged to steadily increase its parish share contribution to the Diocese of Chichester with the aim and agreement that Emmanuel would pay parish share in full by 2025. Which Emmanuel managed to achieve. So well done, church, and thank you again to all who made that possible. But given that Emmanuel hasn't always paid parish share in full, it will come as no surprise that the amount of this yearly contribution has increased significantly over the past few years, as Emmanuel has grown and in light of Emmanuel's commitment to meet this cost in full by 2025 and every year thereafter. And this next slide shows a bit more about this. Our parish share contribution for this year, for example, for 2026, totals £346. £83,346. This is a huge increase from Emmanuel's parish share contribution just 5 years ago in 2021, which was £55,000. And again, a huge departure from what Emmanuel contributed in 2016, just 10 years ago, which was £2,000. Albeit for obvious reasons, as I've just explained, that Emmanuel has only recently begun paying parish share in full. I see a few eyes glazing over. I hope this history lesson is helpful and does help add some context to our current situation. Now, if we turn our attention to present day, I'm sure that you, like me, will agree that we are so blessed at Emmanuel to have two incredibly gifted, anointed, fantastic paid members of staff in Emma, our children and youth worker, and in Shane, our administrator. And the cost of having the blessing of Shane and Emma and the vital work they do as ministers of the gospel and as key leaders in our church totals a little over £35,000 a year. This includes salary as well as pension and national insurance contributions. And Shane and Emma are employed on a part-time basis, and I want to be explicit in stating my firm belief that the ministry they both oversee is absolutely vital and pivotal to us as a church. And it would be a tragedy. It would be a tragedy if the current financial situation at Emmanuel, the current financial trajectory, ended up in unwanted impact and consequences for our paid members of staff. Now, please know, I am not trying to cause fear. I'm not trying to provoke gloom or despair. There are lots of factors and reasons behind Emmanuel's current financial position. But I am wanting to be honest with you, church. This is one of those let's be honest, let's be real with each other moments about the current financial position that our church finds itself in. If we have our next slide. Thanks, Justin. And at this point, I just want to reiterate again what I said at the beginning, which is that I have complete confidence in God as our provider, in the Lord Jehovah Jireh, meaning the Lord will provide. Friends, I'm not joking when I say that we must never lose sight of this. And I do honestly and genuinely believe with a heart of peace that our current financial situation represents a fantastic opportunity. It's a brilliant opportunity for us to trust God and to depend on Him. It's easy, or easier at least, to trust God when we find ourselves plush with money or in the black. But do we still trust God to provide when things are a bit more difficult or uncertain financially? My advice would be that we should, and that we can, and that we must. Blessed be your name when the world's all as it should be, when the sun's shining down on me. Blessed be your name. But blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. And on a practical note, there are a number of ways in which you can give at Emmanuel, including through one-off and irregular donations. But one of the best ways any of us can give is by standing order. And these regular donations really do make an enormous difference to what Emmanuel is able to do as a church. We have a number of these standing order forms here today in the welcome area at the back of church. And I would love to encourage each of us to take one home and to fill this out if you haven't done that already. Or even to fill one out before you leave today and give it to David Grove. David, could you give us a wave so people know who you are? There's David. David's at the back. David does a fantastic job as our bookkeeper here at Emmanuel. I also want to say that right now, and I genuinely believe this, I feel that right now is a really exciting time to be part of Emmanuel Church. There is a collective and a growing sense that we are in a new season, that God is doing a new thing among us. And as we heard from Shane's notice this morning, we currently find ourselves undergoing a bit of a revision or a refresh of our membership. We're also moving towards April and our AGM, as well as the end of the tax year. So I want to say that setting up a standing order now is a great way of saying, I'm all in, to borrow a phrase from poker. I'm all in when it comes to committing to the Lordship of Jesus and committing to being a fully fledged member of Emmanuel. And part of the reason I'm sharing this with you today, and again, it's not something I find easy to speak about, as I said earlier, is because I believe that the Lord would ask every single one of us to pray and to seek Him for what He would have us give financially in this season. Now again, full of caveats this morning, please hear me when I say that if you are a visitor, if you're not sure that Emmanuel is your home church or where you will settle, then please be released from this. And I also want to say and recognize that I know there are different seasons of life in which we might be more or less able to give. There are different life stages that we find ourselves in. It's a slightly lazy stereotype, but if you take the life stage of being a student, generally you're time rich and cash poor. And I understand that, and I miss those holidays. What a blessing. However, I do want to say that most of us here today will be able to give something. Most of us here today will be able to give something, no matter how small or large that gift might be. And once again, let me be clear And we might wish this isn't in Scripture, but I can't see any way around it. There is a biblical expectation that followers of Jesus, as part of our apprenticeship to him and as part of our worship, are those who are committed to practicing generosity and who are committed to giving regularly to the mission and ministry of God and of his church. At the very least, the minimum expectation is that all of us who profess to follow Jesus and who count Emmanuel as our home church should be giving and giving regularly. Whilst it's important that all of us are giving within our means, none of us, friends, can outgive God. None of us can repay God for all that he's done for us. And I want to encourage all of us today to be open to the Lord's conviction and invitation to honor him with our finances by giving generously and sacrificially. At the heart of giving is an extravagant generosity that seeks to exalt and honor Jesus. We have our next slide. I also want to say that although giving can sometimes be viewed as essentially practical in nature, i.e. because things cost money, giving is fundamentally not a practical issue. It's a discipleship issue. Yes, we give to support the mission and ministry of God and of his church, and rightly so, because things cost money, as I just said. But fundamentally, we give because we are followers of Jesus. Fundamentally, we give because giving is part of our worship. And we give because Jesus expects us to honor him with our money, as well as with our hands, heart, and mind. And one of the amazing things about giving and getting into the habit of giving is that it loosens the hold which money can have over us. Remember, the Bible says that love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's often the most misquoted verse in Scripture. It does not say money is the root of all evil. Love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. That's in 1 Timothy 6:10, if you want the reference. Friends, as we give away, we are actively resisting this love of money that can so easily trap us and take over our lives. And I do just want to take a moment again to say thank you to everyone here, everyone in the Emmanuel Church family, who gives regularly and generously and faithfully to the mission and ministry of Emmanuel. Every single gift makes a profound difference to the life of our church, and none of these gifts are taken for granted. And I also want to say, if you haven't thought about your giving recently, if all of this is completely new to you, or if you set up your giving, if you set up a standing order a while ago now, and it's kind of hit that slightly out of mind, out of sight category, then I want to ask you today whether you would consider possibly adjusting or increasing your giving. And again, please do pray and think carefully about this and invite the Lord into those prayers and into that conversation. We have our next slide, please. I don't think I can be any clearer this morning than when I say this. If you count yourself as a follower of Jesus, and if you count Emmanuel as your home church, then you should be giving to Emmanuel financially as part of your worship and to support the mission and ministry of Jesus. I don't like doing shoulds, but this is part of our worship. This is part of what it means to follow Jesus and belong to his church. We have our next slide. The final thing I want to say, which is code for when preachers have lots more to say, it's quite disingenuous, it's probably not the final thing I'm going to say. But the final thing I want to say is that every donation Emmanuel receives, whether that's through irregular giving or standing orders, or the money given as part of special gift days that the church might commission throughout the year, it really does make an enormous difference to what we're able to do as a church. Furthermore, if you're a UK taxpayer, the money Emmanuel is able to claim each year through gift aid also makes a profound difference. For example, in 2025 alone, Emmanuel was able to claim just shy of £24,000 in gift aid. A huge amount. That was 22% of Emmanuel's overall free will giving that year. And you don't need me to tell you that the last few years has seen a considerable and a sharp rise in the cost of living. And I recognize this. I recognize that this has had and continues to have a very real difficult impact on the finances of many people, including some people here today. Coffees from our favorite coffee shops, to use one example, which perhaps only a few years cost around £2 to £3, are now often upwards of £4 or even £5. That's just one example. There are plenty of other examples too, and the church is not immune to this increased cost of living, and Emmanuel is no exception. So as we consider the extravagant generosity that lies at the heart of giving, friends, this is not a financial report, this is a word from the Lord, a hope for us. Can we all think big and dream big when it comes to what God might do through our generosity? I get excited when I think about the kind of things Emmanuel might be able to do in this new season. But far more importantly, I get really excited when I think about what the Lord might do through Emmanuel, through the people of God, as they continue to sow generously and sacrificially into the mission and ministry of Christ and his church. By committing to regular and generous giving, we become what John Tyson, a pastor in New York, calls gospel patrons. I like that phrase. It's an idea we're going to unpack later in this series. We become gospel patrons as we live out what it means to be those who put our money where our mouth is and who gladly and willingly sow into the redemptive, saving, restorative mission and ministry of Jesus and his church. And I do genuinely believe that God is calling Emmanuel into a new season of growth and of flourishing. I really believe that. That's my sense at this time. But by growth, I want to be clear and say that I am not just talking about numerical growth here, which we are already seeing, praise God, especially in our children's numbers on Sundays. When I talk about growth, I'm talking about a growth in our hunger for the Lord and for his presence. I'm talking about growth in our personal prayer and devotion and worship. Growth in the amount of times that we're immersing ourselves in the truth of Scripture and submitting to the authority of God's word. Growth in our awareness of the presence of God. Growth in our humility and holiness. Growth in our desire and our heart to serve. A growth in our confidence in the gifts and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. A growth in the depth of our own faith and trust in Jesus. A growth in our relationships with the Lord and with one another. A growth in our discipleship and in how we disciple others. A growth in our friendships and our partnerships with other churches and Christians in the city, as well as the growth in our finances, resources, and key ministry personnel. There'll be a bit more of this at the AGM in April, April the 19th, Sunday evening for your diaries, if that's not there. As part of my vision for Emmanuel moving forward, which I hope is also synonymous with the Lord's vision for us, I would love to see our staff team grow. I would love to see our staff team expand. And I do believe this is something that the Lord might be asking us to explore and prioritize in this coming season. But for this to happen, we need the Lord to provide the finances necessary. I have great peace about the future because I know and worship a great God. And I know that the financial picture at Emmanuel will become clearer over time as the Lord leads and provides. But please know this, Emmanuel. Every single one of us, each of us has a part to play and an opportunity to shape the future trajectory of Emmanuel through giving, through what we give, and conversely, through what we don't give. If we have our next slide. My challenge, encouragement, and invitation to each of us today, and I know this has been an epic this morning, you will be home in time for lunch, is to look to Jesus. To surrender to Jesus as Lord. To ask the Holy Spirit to search and examine our hearts. And then to invite the Spirit to lead, inspire, and direct our giving. And then to give. And then to give. I said at the beginning that we need to talk about money, and it's right that we do, for many of the reasons I've tried to outline this morning. But friends, far more than this, we need to talk about Jesus. Our world needs us to talk about Jesus. Our loved ones, our family members, our friends, our neighbors and colleagues who do not yet know the Lord need us to talk about Jesus. Only Jesus can save. Only Jesus can satisfy. And only Jesus can meet and remedy all of this world's heartache, hopes, and horrors. So friends, today on Sunday the 8th of February, I want to encourage all of us to adopt a kingdom mindset. If we have our next slide, thank you. I want to encourage all of us to put on kingdom spectacles, to see with kingdom vision through kingdom lenses that the generosity, kindness, and sacrificial and extravagant giving of the people of God at Emmanuel really does enable this church to shine brightly for Christ. Your generosity and your giving really does enable the mission and ministry of Jesus and his church. And by being those who are seeking the Lord and who are involving Jesus in our giving, not only do we surrender to the Lordship of Christ, we actively sow into the mission and ministry of Jesus and of his church. And I tell no lie when I say I can honestly think of no greater cause that I would rather give to you. So as I finish, and this is the real finish now, let me offer my heartfelt thanks again to all of you who give to Emmanuel. Every gift Emmanuel receives is a gift of grace and a blessing from God. And let me also say that no one should give under duress or compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver, and we're going to look at that next week. If we have our last slide. Now as we prepare to celebrate Holy Communion together, where we will remember and give thanks for Jesus' own extravagant generosity to us, dying and rising again for us, may we hold on to the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians 9. Paul writes this, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously." Emmanuel, I am praying, and I would love to invite you to pray with me that we will be those who reap generously because we are those who sow generously. And may all of this be for the glory of God, for the strengthening of his church, and for the advancement of his kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Friends, thank you for indulging me. I appreciate that was a lengthy one. This morning. David Grove will be at the back. If you have any questions about finances, he's very equipped to able those. If you want to grab a standing order form from him, then you're able to do that. Some of the children are joining us, and it's time for us to go and pick up children as we move into communion. So what I'm going to suggest is that we share the peace with one another now. And as we're doing that, that parents, you go and collect your children. Remember that they are your responsibility now for the rest of the service. So if you're able to, can I invite you to stand? Says in our liturgy, Christ himself is our peace. Of the increase of his government and his peace, there will be no end. Sisters and brothers, the peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you. And let's just take a couple of moments to exchange a sign of God's peace with one another.